Morning. Hallelujah. I'm excited about Jesus. Praise the Lord. This half is, this half isn't. Hey, come on. Yeah. There. Now this half is and this isn't. So anyway, when the shoebox thing comes up, I'm going to buy Amy a little less for Christmas this year and put it in the shoebox. Any of you that buy Christmas gifts, you know, maybe that's the way you need to do it, is put more toward reaching those young children around the world than ourselves if you don't need the stuff. Amen? I'm just kidding, Amy. Well, no, I guess I'm not. I'm sorry. Hey. Praise the Lord. To live is Christ. Yes. Amen? Amen. 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 No matter how tough the world gets, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you, we glorify you, just like the song today, Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. It's about you. You are the source. You are the helper. You are the deliverer. You are the guide. You are the joy. You are our laughter. You are our health. You are our finances. It's all about you, Lord. We look to you. We are needy people. And Father, we ask that through the power of your anointing of your Holy Spirit, be here this morning, Lord, that you touch each one of us. Let your word penetrate our hearts, Father. Challenge us through your word, dear God, and put that urgency within us, the Lord, to know that we have a mission to be about our Father's business in the hour in which we live. And we thank you. Let that anointing be upon this congregation in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Preparing for the storm. Preparing for the storm. You probably heard this scripture several times and probably will as we draw closer to the Lord. But Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled." Did you hear that? "See that ye not be troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." Boy, it sounds like that's happening, doesn't it? Huh? There's several wars going on right now while we're sitting here around the world right now between nations that aren't even on the news. There's warfare going on. And where was it? Indonesia, in just a few days apart, an earthquake, 7.2 or what, 6, whatever it was, then a volcano or a tsunami, then a volcano. Now they had another volcano. And then I looked at four other parts of the world. They're having volcanoes erupting right now. They're happening in frequency. And this is the time that we're living in that the Lord warned us about. See, I believe we're in a physical and spiritual warfare more than ever within America right now. More than ever. For the soul of this nation and for Christian values, Satan is working hard overtime to bring America down. Because he knows God is using America to get the gospel out around the world. And sadly to say, we need missionaries coming into America right now because of it. But we need to be aware of that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 4. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Are there perilous times right now? Even with all the peace that we are experiencing and all the blessings we're experiencing, the economy and all that, these are perilous times, people. We're watching it, and the enemy has blinded many, many people's eyes and ears, spiritual eyes and ears, from seeing and hearing what's going on right in front of them. They don't realize that we're living in perilous times. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," meaning without strength to do what is right, "fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." I just read our world today. And just think, the Lord put that in his word, how far back. As we can see this as this in the pagan world, we can understand it. Characteristics listed here in Paul's letter to Timothy seem to be developing in the framework of the church, the professing church, even today, within the church. In other words, there will be little distinction between the secular world and the religious world in the last days. You won't even hardly be able to tell them apart. The church needs to be prepared as we draw closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. We got to be making preparations, people. If you're sitting in here this morning and you're cold in your heart, or you just say, nah, 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 nah. Well, I warned you. Because you got to give answer to your nah, 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 nah. Just like I have to give answer for warning you. Romans, if you brought your Bibles today, hold your Bibles up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It'd be fun to see 100% Bibles. Romans, our text will be from Romans chapter 8, 31 and 39, just so you give you advance on that. Claudia was a newlywed in her 20s when she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease and given only 50% chance of survival. Quickly, she was operated on and began cobalt treatment that transformed her almost overnight from a young, beautiful woman to a physical wreck. Her husband was a chaplain assistant in the hospital and had seen many sick and dying patients. He said, in the movies, couples who have fought for years in the face of danger suddenly forget their differences and they come together. But it doesn't necessarily work that way in real life, does it? When a couple encounters a crisis, he said, it magnifies what's already present in their relationship. Since Claudia and I trust God and love each other deeply, the crisis drove us closer. The crisis of her illness merely intensified the feelings already present. And I've known people who tragedy had hit their home and it split them apart. Claudia and her husband had no idea they would ever face such a crisis. But when it happened, they found they had already developed the strength to weather it. And that was taken from Adopted for Hope for the Troubled Heart by Billy Graham. Now, what about us here today? What about us here today? Most of us, hopefully, will probably never experience that type of enormity of the crisis that Claudia and her husband experienced in their lives. But still, there will be storms, amen? There's going to be storms. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be some decisions. There's going to be gut-wrenching moments that have the potential for bringing us into life-changing crises within our lives. So the questions are, what will we do then? What will we do? If you sit there right now, let the Holy Spirit speak in your heart. What would I do if a serious crisis hit my home right now? How would I react to it? Will we be prepared to face it? Will we have the inner resources that we need? And if not, then how can we prepare ourselves for that day that could come? I'm convinced that if we want to have the resources, we'll need for a time of crisis, then each of us must make preparation for that day. We have to make preparation. So the very first preparation we need to make sure of is our relationship with God. That's the very first one. And Jesus Christ needs to be Lord and he needs to be Savior. He needs to be Lord and he needs to be Savior. And that we are walking with him day by day. The reason I say Lord and Savior, many times you only hear the word Savior. But I believe Jesus Christ needs to be Lord of your life. He needs to be the one in control as much as you and I want to be in control. We have to remember he is Lord. He needs to be Lord. In order to be a Savior, he needs to be Lord. Some people have him as a Savior, meaning a fire escape. That's what they have him for. I've talked to guys like that. When I've witnessed, and they say, well, I'm okay with Jesus. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I don't read anything in here about getting saved by saying a sinner's prayer. He said, I'm okay with God because I prayed the sinner's prayer. But the way he was talking and the things he was telling me told me that he's not living day by day for the very person he said was his Savior. And I asked him, is Jesus Christ your Lord? And he just got silent on me. Because it's true. The Bible gives us some vivid examples. That's why we need to read the words. Look at Abraham walked with God and was called a friend of God. Noah walked with God, and when the flood came, he and his family were saved. He was making preparation because he knew God warned. And God is warning the church today. I'm coming back, and I'm coming soon, and I'm coming in a time when you think not. Moses walked with God in the desert, and God prepared him to lead his people to freedom. For 40 years, Moses walked in the desert, and God was doing a work in him. And when you and I are walking through the desert of life in the times of struggle and frustration, our God is literally doing a work in him as long as our hearts are connected with him through Jesus Christ. David walked with God as a shepherd boy. And when God called upon to rule the people, he was prepared for the task. Daniel was saved from the lion's den, and his friends were spared from the fiery furnace. You think that just automatically happened, that their faith was where it needed to be and they were prepared for anything that came? I tell you what, I don't know. If there was a big old hot furnace out the door and I said, everybody's got to go in there as soon as service is over, and we're going to heat it up 7 times hotter than it's going right now, how many of us would be prepared to walk into that furnace? And then I think about Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery, and for years, prison, all kinds of things happened to him. But God was preparing Joseph. Joseph was preparing himself, even when you read about him in Scripture, for the time when God was going to use him to save Israel. And God wants to do the same thing in you and I. He wants us to make preparation because we're going to be ruling and reigning with him for all eternity. I'm excited. I'm not afraid to tell you I'm excited. That's what the Lord is doing. We need to get excited, people. Especially if, you know, somebody walked in and said, are you a Pentecostal church? Yeah. Is Jesus the one you look at in this church? Yeah. We're Pentecostal. We need to get excited about Jesus. I'm not asking you guys, you don't have to shout like me and get and jump around and do goofy things, but you can be excited, amen? You can be excited when somebody says the name of Jesus. I get excited. If I hear a newscaster on the Fox News say, Jesus Christ is my Lord, I get excited because it's the same Lord that I have. I get excited. Man, people, we got to be excited about the one who's coming back. That's part of preparation. How many get excited unless there's problems when a family member comes to see you they haven't seen for years? We get excited. Well, Jesus is coming. See, God does not always pull his children out of the fire, does he? He doesn't take us out. Stephen was a young man, as we look in the scriptures here in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They chose him, but they stoned him. They stoned Stephen. But his entry into heaven was triumphal because he was prepared. I like to, as you read, go through that scripture, it says the consul saw his face that had been the face of an angel. As he was at the point of death being stoned, his face was as an angel when the consul looked at him who stoned him to death, the people. We need the face of an angel, the face of God upon us as trials and tribulations hit us. We can praise God. Because I tell you what, how many have ever been hit by a stone? How many have brothers? My brothers and I used to throw stones at each other's. And we had a few hit the old noggin. And boy, does it hurt. But I tell you what, Stephen was pointed out for death, but he was prepared in his heart. Look at the fate of some of the apostles. Peter, he was crucified upside down. He wasn't prepared at one point in his life, as you aren't, and I am not. But God was doing a preparation in Brother Peter's life. At one time, he's fearful even to say the name Jesus. But at the end of his life, he was crucified upside down. He was prepared. God prepared him for that time, that moment of being a martyr. Andrew was tied to a cross with a thick rope for 3 days before he died. John was a prisoner on a desolate island all by himself. Bartholomew was beaten and then beheaded. Thomas was murdered while he was preaching. They were prepared. They made preparation for the time of a crisis that came into their life that they were may have not been ready for any other time. Because there are people today in our world that will leave the Jesus as soon as somebody says, "Are you one of those Bible thumpers?" And they take off like a jackrabbit. And there's Christians who won't even speak the name of Jesus for fear they'll be laughed at or ridiculed or mocked. They're not prepared. They haven't been preparing their life for the point when to give ready to give answers should somebody ask. People, we need to be prepared. These men literally walked with God and they suffered. But with their lives, they echoed with Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. They said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Yes. See, although we're not present with them nearly 2,000 years ago, we have the same access to the same Jesus that Paul did way back then. The very same Jesus. We have access to the Holy Spirit to walk and live through our lives and help us to prepare for whatever comes our way. Whether it be sickness, financial, relational, whatever the enemy would try to bring against us or God allow in our life to make us prepared for what's coming up on the world. There's people that are afraid to live in the hour that we live right now, and this is the most exciting time to be alive. We are literally watching the buildup of the coming of Jesus Christ for his second coming, but the rapture can happen anytime. But we are literally seeing this happen. It's happening. Everything that's happening almost daily, you can open your Bible and go to a scripture to say Jesus said that was going to happen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Secondly, first, Jesus Christ needs to be Lord and Savior. If you're in here this morning and he's not Lord and Savior, you're not going to be prepared for anything. Secondly, we need to open our Bibles and use it for guide for daily life. We need to open our Bibles. I wonder what happened to Bible memorization. That was talked about all the time within churches. Thankfully, we have Sunday school people and volunteers within Crossfire. They're teaching our young people Bible scriptures in order to deal with the world when they get out into the world. And that's happening in some churches, and I thank God for that because we need it. People, we also need adult Bible studies to encourage adults to memorize too. There's a lot of, it might not sound good the way I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it. There's a lot of leaky people out here. We once had the word strong in our hearts and we forgot all of it because we stayed away from the word of God. We depend upon a preacher to encourage us, to make us happy, to get us excited and all this here. But we're not into the word of God and saying, "What does it say here, Lord?" and put it in your heart. The Holy Spirit will bring it into your heart at the time you need it. We need to memorize the scriptures. Now, if you say, "Well, boy, you're kind of a hypocrite." Well, no, I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you here. I don't know the exact chapter and verse, but I can tell you the scripture. That's the important part. God isn't going to say, "That was chapter 13. He ain't going to say that. But it's the word, the living word that we need to get within our hearts. That's why I when somebody said, "Well, you don't know what chapter and verse it is." Well, who cares about the chapter and that? It's good to know it, but I tell you what, I want to know the word of God. That's the most important thing. And if I need to find it, I can find it. I'll go in and find it. And actually, that's good. It makes you get in there and dig. Be like the Bereans. They studied and showed themselves, approved. And as we walk with our Lord and come to know him better day by day, we too can say with them, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. And I like 2 Corinthians 5:8 too. We are confident, I say, willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's why Paul said it, you know, that it's to die as gain, because he's going to be with Jesus. But see, today there are people that they know more about the words on TV commercials than they do any words in the Bible. Russell Morris, listen to this illustration here. Russell Morris, one of the great missionaries along the China-Burma border, was taken captive by Chinese communists in 1951 and imprisoned for 21 months. They told him that his wife and youngest son had been killed, and for 15 of those months, he was in an isolation cell cut off from any outside contact. They broke his glasses and shoved him into that cramped cell without his Bible or any other book. Twice a day, a bowl of food was pushed through a slot in his cell. Yeah, in his cell door, but he never saw a face or heard a human voice. Cut off from all human contact, unsure whether anyone in the outside world even knew he was still alive or where he was, he later said that he would have surely gone insane if he had not been able to recall Bible verses and hymns that he had memorized over the years. That was all that kept his mind active. That's all that kept his mind active was the Word of God. And we take it for granted, people. We take it for granted, and this is so powerful that it's alive, it's living, and it's moving. As soon as you take it and put it in your heart, God is beginning to do a work in your life, and you can accomplish, you can be victorious, you can do all things through Christ because of what he gives you in his Word. Amen. We are more than conquerors to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are victorious only if you're in the Word of God. Praise God. People have said when they were suffering, sometimes they could only remember small parts of Scripture, and that's all. Sometimes you can only remember Jesus. And that's enough, because in the name of Jesus, everything exists. He's the Creator. And if that's all you know what to pray in the middle of a trial, say Jesus. Boy, God hears that name, Jesus. There's power in the name. The devil hears that name, Jesus. The Satan is fearful of that name. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. They tremble. If you got problems in your life, maybe it's demon activity, and maybe you need to be speaking the name of Jesus and make them tremble and flee from you. From your home, from your situation, because that's what demons do best. They deceive and put fear in the hearts of people. Amen. And we need to speak the name of Jesus. One woman repeated over and over in Philippians 14, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That's all she could repeat. That's what the Holy Spirit was putting in her heart, because she needed strength to overcome. I wonder what verses have stored up for the future for you. They will be the life to your life. You don't know. You don't know where we're going to go with this thing. In this world, in your life. What verses, words will God put in you that will give you the strength to get through whatever comes against you? And then thirdly, even before the storm begins, we need to make prayer a vital part of our life. Lisa talked about it earlier, and that's what we need is prayer. We have talked about the importance of prayer before, but it seems as if we often pray during a crisis, and then we neglect it when there's nothing happening in our life. We get away from it. Just before the state of the Gulf War 16 years ago, the Brownsville Ministerial Association sponsored a community prayer service at the First Presbyterian Church. The building was packed. Did you hear that? It was packed. These chairs are open, by the way. The Lord, the Holy Spirit knows every chair that's open here. And he's going to bring in the people at the right time in the right way. I have full confidence in that. I know it because God is not a liar. He is the one who builds the church. People can mock and they can say this, they can say that. I don't care. I'm going to believe what God says. He says, I'm the one. I am the one who builds the church. Praise the Lord. Back to my story. People filled the sanctuary. And they even had a large overflow in the church basement listening over the sound system. It was an emotional service as they prayed for God's guidance and mercy during the impending war. Well, as you know, God answered their prayers. The war was short and dramatic, and loss of life was so much less than they ever dreamed possible. So a few weeks later, they had another community-wide prayer service to thank God. But the crisis atmosphere, it was over. And only 20 people chose to come and thank God for answering his prayer. 20. Only 20 people. Before it was packed. The basement, the upstairs, people maybe outside. It was packed with people praying because war was threatening their lives and their family. But now it's over. 20 people showed. That's a true story. That's true. 20 people showed up. And now once again, we find our nation embroiled in war. Yes, we are. We're embroiled in war, people. A war against terrorism. A war against elusive enemies who deliberately target civilians to underscore their hatred of our nation and the principles of freedom that we enjoy. We are fighting against the spirit of abortion and homosexuality trying to be rampant within this nation and around the world. And we're at war. And if we ever needed to call upon the power of prayer, I believe that is now. And I believe the Jesus that we call upon is able to conquer and has conquered all those things. But it takes his people to do the same, to seek him, to cry out to him. And he will bring it to pass. He will bring deliverance. He will bring deliverance. He will break chains. He will bring joy into situations that were sadness and heartache, because his name is Jesus. There's a story in the Bible about a prayer being used against a wicked ruler. Sennacherib was an Assyrian king, much like Saddam Hussein, who boasted that he would defeat God's people and take over their land. He sent messages to Israel taunting the people and their weakness and boasting of his strength. When Sennacherib spoke, the world trembled. Israel's king Hezekiah was a man of faith when you get in and read that story. And he knew that on purely human level, the Assyrians could destroy them. But Hezekiah had a secret weapon. He had a secret weapon. He called the prophet Isaiah in, and they fell to their knees in prayer. And look what happened. They fell to their knees in prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 21 and 22 says, and the Lord sent an angel. The Lord sent an angel. Why did the Lord send an angel? I just read it or talked to you about it. Because Hezekiah and Isaiah were on their knees praying. And the Lord sent an angel would cut off the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Syria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was coming to the house of his gods, they came forth of his own bowels, slew him there with the sword. Thus the king saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the land of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Your home needs deliverance, people. Yes. There's homes here this morning that need the power of prayer in them. They need God to intercede, to bring deliverance, to break chains, to bring hope. Amen. To bring healing. Amen. Jesus did that. How much are we letting the devil get away in our lives because we decide we're not going to do something or don't want to do something? Or to be honest with you, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? And so the devil goes in and he steals, he kills and destroys and takes from God's people because God's people aren't serious like the devil is. Am I being straightforward?
Yes.
Am I being honest?
Yes.
I can see it in Scripture. You can read it. But it's is not just in times of war that we need to pray, is it? It's not just then. We have so many other battles going on in America today. Our government needs prayer, amen?
Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord. Our president needs prayer, amen?
Amen?
Our leaders need prayer. Our schools need our prayers. Do you know what our children are being bombarded with today? Have you been keeping up with social media and seeing what young children in school that are having transvestites and different people coming in and reading them stories out of books and everything and okaying the lifestyle? And parents are allowing their kids, even Christians, to go to these schools and be indoctrinated with all this filth? And parents aren't praying? They aren't covering their children with prayer or whatever? Our youth in our schools, our teenagers, they need prayer. Our families need our prayers. Our churches need our prayer. Crossfire needs our prayer.
That's right.
Today, our nation and the church are facing the undisguised hatred of militant Muslims also, people, who proclaim a gospel of death, a religion that through the centuries have been spread by the sword and even today maintain its power by the sword. And by the way, did you know that about 35 years ago, there was only one Muslim mosque in America? As little as 35 years ago. Do you know how many are in America today? There are over 3,000 mosques in America today, and there's one being built every day of the week. They're coming in by hordes, and they have an agenda. And praise God, God's moving by His Holy Spirit around the world, upon the Muslims, and He's saving them. But there's a lot of them out there that are out to do harm. And our nation needs prayer. This nation is under attack.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And people, we need to put that to prayer because it's spiritual. It's happening. Satan is using mankind to destroy mankind and using everything he can to tear this nation and tear your home down.
Amen.
He's doing everything he can. And it takes fervent prayer, serious prayer, in order to fight these spiritual attacks against our lives, against our church, against our families.
Amen.
We must repent of our prayerlessness and make prayer a priority. Even churches today have gotten away from prayer much. Food and fellowship gatherings seem to have taken precedence. I got to be honest with you, people. If we do the food thing, we get a pretty decent crowd.
Yeah.
And it's all we do is go home heavier. Good fellowship. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with eating either, to be honest with you. But that isn't what builds God's church. Especially when we're in the middle of warfare, when we need to hold up our loved ones. You may say, well, you know, you're just too dramatic on that stuff there, Brother Pastor Lynn, whatever your name is. Well, you may get away with it now, but something's coming. Something's coming, and you need to be prepared when it comes. Your life may be sweet and like butter on... Yeah, I guess that's slippery enough. But I tell you what, it's coming. Your world will change within a split second. And all the days and all the hours we pass by and not allowed God to move in our life, when He's sitting there waiting for my people, if they would only cry unto me, if they would get serious, I need to know they're serious about what they're crying about. Miracles have happened when God's people turn to him in prayer. Man, I could go through this and show you how God moved when people began to pray. We should not pray for God to be on our side, but we pray that we are on God's side. Remember, God does not promise always to deliver us, but he will always be with us. Amen? And finally, we must practice the presence of Christ. We must practice the presence of Christ. How do we experience the nearness of the Lord? Do we need a picture drawn by some artist to be able to imagine him with us? Do we need it on our wall? Do we need a little statue sitting on the dash in our car? Do we need to be carrying it around our neck? Those things do nothing. Oh, they can be witnesses, some of them. Some of them aren't witnesses. Some of them are idol worship. But I tell you what, I don't need a picture in my house of Jesus to be able to know that the Lord is near. In fact, if you got one, you ought to tear it down and throw it in the garbage and burn it, because it's not Jesus anyway. Probably doesn't even look like him. It's probably something you look at and becomes an idol because you think there's power in that picture. I've talked to people like that. Honestly, I have. One guy took me to all the pictures in his house of Jesus and Mary Mother. And he says, I pray to him every day. And I said, what for? You're wasting your time. Charles Spurgeon once said that there had never been 15 minutes in his life when he did not sense the presence of Christ. Oh, to be there. I wish I could make that statement, but I cannot. What strength would we have if we trained for life as if Christ were walking alongside us, if we trained knowing that he's walking with us every day, knowing that he lives in us but walking with us in everything we do every day, every evening. The best-selling book, In His Steps, tells of a challenge given by a preacher to his congregation to pledge for 1 year not to do anything without first asking the question, what would Jesus do? This challenge was provoked when a tramp, mourning his wife who had died in poverty, stumbled into this wealthy church and addressed a congregation. He said, I heard some people singing at a church prayer meeting the other night. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. All my thoughts and all my doings. All my days and all my hours. I began wondering as I sat on the steps outside just what they meant by that. It seems to me there's a lot of trouble in the world that somehow wouldn't exist if all the people who sing such songs went out and lived them out. Ouch. If that tramp had spoken to us, how would we have responded to him this morning? Do we live our lives with the thought, what would Jesus do? Do we practice the presence of Christ every day in our life? Do we do that? Waking up in the morning and say, praise the Lord, I rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm glad in it. Jesus, go with me today. I got some decisions I got to make today. I've got some hard things that are coming against me. I got some family members got some hard things coming against them. Lord, I got situations in my life, but Lord, I know you're with me every step, every way. And Lord, I need you with me right now. I know that you'll never leave me and you'll never forsake me. Be with me throughout this day. And you can do that all day long, talking to your Savior and your Lord, because he said he'd never leave you. In the story, the tramp died, but he struck the conscience of the congregation so profoundly that the lives of many were changed, just as our lives would change if we truly followed in his steps and asked, what would Jesus want to do with me and for me? See, Christ promised his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? What a wonderful promise. Jesus had ascended back to heaven, but he presents to every born-again Christian, believer, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he lives within us. He never leaves us, will ever forsake us. And we need to cultivate that sense of his presence as we go about the daily routine of our life. Amen? We need to do that, people. We need to make preparation every day for what's coming. what's coming. Young person in here, you need to make preparation for what's coming into your life as you grow, should Jesus tarry. But our world is in such a sensitive state right now, anything can happen at any moment. And our lives are too. Our text that I did give you earlier, I'm finally getting to it. It's not a new sermon. I'm just deciding I'm going to read it. Romans 8, 31 and 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Things we have need of, people. I added that. That wasn't in the scripture. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Isn't that awesome? My Lord, my Savior right now knows I'm going through a battle, and he's making intercession for me. He's saying Lyndon needs some help. That's my whole name, by the way, Lyndon. Lyndon needs some strength today. Lyndon needs some encouragement. Ruth needs some help today. He's making intercession. Eric back there, he struggles in this area. God, give him strength. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, your creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can come up. Early in the 1900s, Japan conquered Korea and treated the people with savage brutality. Christians especially seemed to be targeted. They banned church services, boarded up the church building, killed or imprisoned many of the Christian leaders, and deported them all. Deported all the foreign missionaries. However, one Korean pastor persistently entreated the local Japanese police chief for permission to hold a service. His request was finally acknowledged, and the police chief offered to unlock his church for just one meeting, just one. It didn't take long for the word to spread, and just before dawn that Sunday night, many Christian families starving for an opportunity for unhindered worship, made their way to the church building. They passed the hard, staring eyes of their Japanese conquerors, but nothing was going to steal their joy. The Korean church has always been known for its singing and a handful of peasants working outside listened as song after song of praise rang out through the open windows in the Sunday morning air. It was during a stanza of "Never My God to Thee" that the Japanese officer gave orders to his soldiers to barricade the doors, splash kerosene on the walls, and set the church on fire. That's happening today. As smoke and fumes and flames began to fill the structure, the people inside rushed to the windows, but there was hope of escape ended as the bodies of those climbing out the windows came crashing back in, propelled by hail of bullets from outside. The pastor knew there would be no escape, and with a calmness that comes from heavenly confidence, he began singing. That was all the prompting the other worshipers needed. With smoke burning their eyes, they instantly joined in the singing. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? People. They were singing the last verse just as the roof collapsed, and to the horrified peasants outside, those words became a vivid and eternal testimony of their faith. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Then the strains of music in the walls of the children were lost in royal flames. The bodies that were housed life fused with the charred rubble of the building, but the souls who left singing finished their chorus in the throne room of God. That's true. So what about you? Are you preparing for storms life? Are you preparing for people? I'm challenging you. Or will you be caught without the resources you need? I don't come here to preach popular messages. I come here hopefully to challenge you, to encourage you, and to warn you. And through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, guide each one of us in the hour that we're living. And the best way to prepare is to make sure you're right with Jesus. Make sure you're right with Jesus. And treasure His Word in your hearts, people. Don't ever take this for granted. Don't ever take it for granted. You need to treasure it in your hearts. And prayer, again, is a vital part of your life. And practice His presence every day. Practice His presence. Let's stand, please. And every eye bowed. Is there anyone in here that the Lord would have directed in here that has never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and you wouldn't be prepared for eternity if you died right now or got killed? Is there anyone? Just like on Interstate 94 here last week, I believe it was, or whatever, a man got killed, went into eternity on Highway 94. A semi rear-ended a pickup and threw the pickup into the construction area, and a 58-year-old man had gone into eternity. He didn't prepare that day for that. He didn't realize that one day he would never be able to go back home, but that was the day he left this earth. I wonder if he was prepared. Is there anybody in here with an uplifted hand without looking around? And I'm not going to embarrass you. Just put your hand up and say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. I'm not sure if I would die if I would go to live with Him. Is there anybody? I'm giving you that opportunity if you're in here. Just lift up your hand. Is there anyone? I'll let the Holy Spirit do this, the calling. If you're in here and you've never done that, just lift up your hand. I'm not going to belabor it. Is there anyone in here that would agree with me? And again, as usual, I got my hand up. I beat you all up. Not beat you all up, but I beat my hand up. That would agree with me that I need to make more preparation for my life. I want you all to come up forward. Everybody says, I need God. I need to make more preparation in my spiritual life, in my life for what might come or might not come too. But I need to make preparation. Just come up and fill up the altar just for a moment of time this morning. That's what this altar is for. Come to Jesus. You haven't been living the way you should, and I'm not even saying sinful ways. I'm saying you haven't been living the way you are. You haven't been giving and committing your time to Jesus, and you've been taking for granted the fact that, hey, I'm a Christian. There's still a few people that should come up here. The Holy Spirit wants you up here. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. God takes seriously the altar calls. He takes them serious. And He knows who's playing games and who isn't. And I'm not trying to bring condemnation, but I want you to be aware of, I'm not going to let you slip by if you need to be up here, if the Holy Spirit wants you up here. And some people just choose not to, and that's fine. But I want to pray right now. And if you that are up here with me would pray with me right now, and then we'll just praise the Lord and ask Him to give us a heart. Heavenly Father, we, Your people, come before Your throne of grace. And we ask right now, Holy Spirit, I need my heart changed. I need it softened. I need to get rid of the complacency inside of me. I need to get rid of the apathy that I'm walking in. And Lord, I need to look to you. I need to look to you, the source, Jesus, to help me to make preparation for my future and for whatever the enemy would come against me with, that I am prepared to stand upon your word, to trust in you, Almighty God, and to get the victory. And no matter what comes against me, no matter even if it took my life, I will have the victory because I put my trust in you, O Lord. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit from this moment forward will continue to speak into my heart the word prepare, prepare, to prepare to meet you, my Lord. And prepare for my family, to prepare for sickness that would try to come against me, to prepare against evil that would try to come against my home, to prepare my heart from backsliding. And I ask right now, Jesus, that your precious blood be over myself, over my family, over all my loved ones. And Lord, that you continue to do a work within me. And let me, Lord, help me to be passionate to live for you, to be joyful, to serve you, and to be committed to you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, for I know that you heard my prayer. And I know that you will answer my prayer as I strive to live for you. In Jesus' name. Let's just praise him for a moment. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We worship you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We glorify your mighty name, Lord. We worship you and we look forward to your soon return. We praise you for what you did on Calvary's cross. Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the precious blood. Lord, thank you for sending the Holy Ghost into our lives, Father. Lord, we thank you for the written word. Father, we're so thankful for our brothers, our sisters in Christ. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for music. Lord, we thank you for the people that serve you in our church. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let your anointing be upon each of us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, now I pray for every family here, Lord, that you would do a supernatural work. Lord, do what needs to be done, Lord. Let your will be done in their life. Let your will be done in your life. Lord, I always pray, Father, for blessings. I always pray for financial blessings, for different things in people's lives. But Lord, ultimately, I pray for your will to be done, because maybe there's people that shouldn't be blessed financially in order to get their lives right. And you know that. So, Lord, I want your will done in my life, my brothers and sisters' life. But, Lord, I pray that they walk in your blessings according to your will in the days ahead. And, Lord, help each one of us, should something happen in this world before we come back together, that we are prepared as the church, the bride of Christ, to be prepared in this shaky world, to be ready to memorize your word, to have it in our hearts, to be conquerors should something happen. And should that trumpet sound, Lord, help us in our hearts to love, truly love your coming and be expectant of it each and every day. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand and tell them Jesus is coming and I'm going to make preparation.